listening to Cleveland and Beyond with Andy Billman and Jared Watson, brought to you by Evergreen Podcasts.
And we are live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. He's Andy Billman, I'm Jared Watson, and this podcast is brought to you by Waiting for Next Year. Check them out, original Cleveland sports reporting at waitingfornextyear.com. Also, coming soon to Evergreen Podcasts. Hey, for those needing some wild turkey in your eggnog, how about this one? Freddie Kitchens calling the plays with Colt McCoy under center this Sunday night as the Browns, oh boy, play in an important game, stressing important game against the Giants. Keep pouring that wild turkey as the Buckeyes are playing Northwestern on Saturday. Does anyone care for the Big Ten Championship? And Kevin Porter update as well. But first, let's put all of our, what are we doing? Pittsburgh started at t-shirts. What are we doing with them? Are we wearing them?
I got it on today.
Oh, you're wearing yours. I didn't. Yes. For Freddie. Wow. That's how, see, I'm not even awake yet. Your Pittsburgh started at t-shirts. I should have put mine on this morning. Cleveland Browns.
This is feels like such a reunion week. Colt McCoy, where have you been? You know, all sorts of fun things this week. Hope everybody's having a great week as I sip my coffee. This is the weirdest week for me, and I think Jared and I were just talking before we came on. This is a big game. This is a very, very important game. Yeah. Because the Jets game is behind the Browns, if the Browns beat the Giants, it's over. They're going to the playoffs. I mean, it's just over. The analytics tell you that. And especially with the mindset of the Steelers can't get the number one seed, that adds on that week 17 game is going to be a joke because the Steelers won't try. They're going to be resting players going to the playoffs. So everything tells you right now that if you win the Giants game, everything is kosher. Everything is good. And then you add, as Jared said wonderfully in that opening dialogue, then you add in Colt McCoy. And then Freddie Kitchens reunion, which a Freddie Kitchens reunion would have been buried up until Garrett now is out with COVID. Hope Garrett's doing okay. It just makes for interesting storylines. This feels like a goofy game. It's great to have Denzel Ward back. We'll get into that as well. There's been some chatter about who won the OBJ trade. We'll get into that as well. There's been some stuff about Landry and Peters, which is legitimate. We're going to get into that. But so there's all this floating. This is the first week. There's all this floating stuff. All these floating side storylines. But this is the first game, Jared, even more so than the Ravens. This is a big, I mean, the Ravens game is big, but this is a big game the Browns want to make the playoffs.
Well,
big, big, big game.
We did it to ourselves, Andy. We did it to ourselves. If we would have won the game last week, we wouldn't be in this position. But now
we're
in this position. So now
we're in this game.
Now I'm a little nervous. And now old Browns fan is starting to creep back in. And here's why.
Uh-oh.
Old Browns fan is creeping in because the pressure, the heat is on. Is that Don Henley? The heat is on?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Not Henley,
Glenn
the other
Fry.
Dude. Glenn Frey.
I knew
Frey.
It wasn't Joe Walsh. Glenn Frey.
Joe Walsh would never
God
have
rest
that
his soul.
Come out of
I love
his
Joe
mouth.
Walsh. I met Joe Walsh. I want to give him a big hug. He takes care of veterans. He's a badass. Anyway.
Great dude.
All of this.
Cleveland ties.
All of this just brings up old Browns feelings because we didn't win when we needed to last week. We're heading to New York. It's an away game. It feels weird. It feels wonky.
Goofy
All
game.
Of a sudden, Colt
Goofy
McCoy's
week.
Starting a quarterback. Okay, that's great. All of a sudden, Freddie Kitchens is taking over as play caller. Oh, boy. What crazy shit is going to happen Sunday night? Oh, yeah, and it's prime time. What crazy shit is going to happen on Sunday night to just botch everything? That is just old Browns mentality that is very difficult to separate myself from in this very moment. Now that I got that out of the way, right? We can get the feelings out of the way. We all feel weird. We all feel like this is something that gets what something don't feel right. There's a glitch in the matrix. There's something here that we've seen something. We've seen things like this before. Nope. Let's just calm it down and just remember. Kevin Stefanski is not same old Browns. Baker Mayfield this season under Kevin Stefanski and under Van Pelt is not same old Browns. Nick Chubb is never going to be same old Browns. Kareem Hunt is not same old Browns. Andrew Berry is not same old Browns. Landry is absolutely not same old Browns. Myles Garrett is not same old Browns. Denzel Ward will be back, hopefully. He's not same old Browns.
He's on the plane of being back.
Hooper
I mean,
is back. He's not same
old
Browns.
It just is, right.
So, this team is set up to win this game, to win the next game, and to probably win the Pittsburgh game. And they need to do these things. They will do these things. It's a little rattling, Andy, is all I'm saying. It's a little rattling. No?
It's last week was huge. And added to the Ravens, it was huge. This game is the first game, though. It's like this is going to determine your fate a little bit. If you win this game, it's downhill running. And to add on all this stuff with Freddie and as Marissa McCool says, Marissa McCool, a big-time bird animal person, by the way. I love her animal and bird post. It's hard not to classify the Kitchens year as well as the McCoy years, to borrow a phrase from Patton Oswalt, a failure pile in a sadness bowl. Good quote. That's from Facebook, Marissa McCool. Let's go backwards first, and we'll get into the overall thing. It is so weird. So it feels like it's many moons ago that Freddie Kitchens was here. And my God, it feels like it's decades ago. It almost has been for McCoy to be in here. On top of it, too, I mean, it's been such a different year. It's really helped. The thing that's been sucking about all this losing is you start remembering all these things like it just happened. Like that when the Browns were going through this turmoil of losing, it's like Ray Farmer felt like it happened like a couple of days ago. It felt like all these different things like happened. Oh, that miserable loss against the Patriots. Oh, that happened when? Like yesterday? And so when you start to win, it's real to your point, and you make a really good point. The separation of this has really been good this year. It hasn't just been winning. There's a separation of mentality. It really, really has been. Now, that's going to be put to the test. This game has a lot of weird sap to it. And by the way, I think it's good for this team. This is as good a team as we think they are.
Show me you're not distracted by these weird storylines.
That's my point. Like, again, there's been a lot of weird distractions this week. I think the press conference have been a little more wonky than usual. But that for that to be happening up until this week, that's pretty good for a season. Yeah. So I'm okay with it. But going back to it real quickly, we should dive into it a little bit. It is fascinating that Freddie Kitchens is going to be calling plays. And out of all things, Colt McCoy. Now, look.
You can't make this shit up in 2020, Andy.
You can't make it
Nor
up.
Is it surprising.
By the way, you want Colt McCoy. You don't want Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is hurt. He's got two legs. But if he isn't healthy, Daniel Jones is okay. Colt McCoy is an old, washed-up vet. We know Colt McCoy. We know what we're getting. He's just older. Nothing's changed. He's just a lot older. Just a lot older. He can't. I mean, come on. What's he going to do?
He is a lot older.
Oh, my God. He's a lot older.
I'm a lot older.
He's a lot older. I mean, come on. What's he going to do? Roll out of bed? and just have like a Joe Montana arm? We know who he is. Dink and dunk, dink and dunk, dink and dunk. And Freddie, it is made for great at ironic weeks. Theater. that this is all happening. Here's another observation I made about this week too, and then let's get more into this game. It's been interesting too because like there's usually pretty good status update injury reports. This week it's like Denzel Ward's back, but not officially. This is the first week too. It's like Hooper, he's practicing, but not officially back. Teller, he's out, but he's not officially out. This has been the first week too. It's like, man, we've been pretty transparent on injuries. It's hard to get a gauge on who's playing, who's not. Hodge, he's doing better. He's progressing. We're not saying he's in, though, but he's progressing. There's a lot of those injury updates that have been more murky.
Greedy Williams-type injury reports.
Yeah, it's like Denzel Ward, he's going out talking like he's playing, but they won't officially stamp it. So it's made this week. This week can be fool's gold, is all I'm warning people. And it feels that way. I agree, Jared. It kind of feels that way. It's like, just stay focused. The Giants are their best defensive player's out because he got close contact with someone. So their best cornerback's out. Like, this is all this. This should be an easy victory.
Oh, God bless.
This really should be. The Giants are not. I just look at the Giants and I'm like, I watched them play last week. They stink on offense. They have no Saquon Barkley. They have no Daniel Jones now, and they couldn't move the ball against the Cardinals. Their defense is kind of the Cardinals and Browns have the same defense. They're okay. So if you can't move against the Cardinals, why would you think you're going to move against the Browns with Denzel Ward back?
And you got to think that Mac Wilson coming off the week that he's coming off of, he's not a happy camper. He's a guy that wears his emotions on his sleeves, and by sleeves I mean all over social media.
Yes,
he's been getting upset by the comments that he's been getting by Browns fans blocked a few of those prominent voices within Browns fan land. And also, I believe that part of that comes from he's going through some tough times. I think he lost a friend and coach this week too, a mentor of his. And off of the week that he had against the Ravens and then coming into losing someone like that in his life, plus the comments on Facebook or on Twitter, actually, he's going to come in and have to have a big game, in my opinion, especially when we're dealing with this. Marissa McCool on Facebook, I can't wait to see four bubble screens on third and long.
Marissa, you knew where I was going today. Yep, you knew where I was going today, girl.
Mac Wilson will be an important character on the field during this game, and I would love to see a big bounce back game out of him for that reason.
Let's talk about the Freddie thing some more. Landry had some comments. Quote, I was not opposed to it, speaking about the firing of Freddie. This was yesterday, on Thursday, the 17th, Patrick Billman's birthday. Quote, I can only do my job and trust that the staff and the organization are going to put someone in place, whether I continue to be Freddie or Kevin Stefanski, as now is obvious, to make sure that we can get on the right track and be a winning football team, end quote. You know, Mayfield, just a paraphrase, talked about the roller coaster experience. He didn't go as deep as Landry. Look, bubble screens, all that to be said. Going back real quickly, as we should go back. I actually don't think Freddie Kitchens is a bad guy, but boy, was he ill-prepared for this job. I mean, should we talk about said turning the back on defense on multiple plays, especially the Cardinals game?
He just was lost. And I said this on Twitter the other day when I saw that he had made a comment, some video, talking about the Browns. And I have no hate for Freddie Kitchens. I don't.
Right.
I have none. Will I joke around a little bit the way that I do about Hugh? Yeah, a little bit. Will I be as tough on him as I was about Hugh? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I will not. Freddie had a tough time here in Cleveland, point blank period. He was given the keys of the Corvette and he totaled it.
Drove it off the cliff. I mean, just drove it off the cliff. And I should have known that opening sequence in the Titans game where he was out in the middle field catching passes and playing up to the crowd. I knew my gut when I was watching that. I was like, why the fuck does he give a crap about catching one-handed passes before the biggest game of opening season
was
life?
I don't know. But you know what? I wouldn't have had a problem with it if they would win, if they would have had their shit together on the field, and they just didn't, you know, and that was it. But yeah, you're right. But that was very telling.
That was very telling.
That was a T-shirt. Wyatt Teller. that was a very telling. That was an awful joke. That was a very telling situation.
T-shirt gate, the whole thing, just back and forth.
We wear the shirts. We love the shirts.
I know.
We wearing the shirts.
Just don't
wear
them if you're the coach. I mean, geez, it's just that easy. Until after you win. Now back to on the field. To be fair, Freddie's gonna have to follow the Garrett system. I know Garrett's out, but Garrett's gonna be obviously having some input in this game, so it's not gonna be all Freddie all the time. Freddie's just gonna be there calling plays and stuff. I actually don't. I'll be fair. I think it's minimal impact. Colt McCoy's much bigger. I think Kitchens, it's minimal impact here. Minimal impact. It's Garrett's offense. Certainly, he's not going to implement a different plays.
You're right, exactly.
This week
it's
for
not
one
like
game.
They're. Yeah, it's not like all of a sudden it's going to be the Freddie Kitchens offense out of nowhere. That's not a knock. That's just, you know, they're not going to change scheme. They're going to keep it simple. What is they got to do? Whatever's going to keep.
That's my point.
They want to keep Colt McCoy safe. And try to move the ball like that. What else are you gonna do?
See, I'm gonna repeat this. This game should be easy peasy. If you come out focused and you come out and play the way the Browns can play out like they did on Monday night, this game could be 20 plus. I'm telling you, 20 plus. Turn out the lights. Don't have to watch.
Or the Giants.
We're on
the
Instagram
the
at 10:30.
Come out slinging. I mean. Or they, because they have nothing to lose.
By the way, all in play.
Oh, God
all in
bless.
Play.
I don't want to deal with this.
This is the game. This is the last game. I'm telling you, I think these other two, even the Steeler game, I'm getting a different vibe. I think the Steelers are going to check out and start resting players. These next two games are going to be easy peasy. This is the game. This is it.
And this is the honest.
This is the last Maalox smasher.
The more that I think about this and the more that we talk about this, let me just, I'm starting to feel where this is all coming from. And I hate to say it, but it's coming from my mistrust from this Browns defense in doing what they need to do, especially on linebacker and secondary.
Yeah.
And not everyone on linebacker. I'm just... It really is, you know, are these guys going to run into each other when things get wild, when Colt gets outside the pocket? Like, you don't fucking know.
Stewart going to look like a top out in the middle of the field. Oh, I know. Manny Blaisdell this morning. But I will hit hi. Manny's great.
Good morning, Manny. What's up, brother?
Hope you two are doing well. Believe Land, I'm with you. Look, I was going to come back with this, but I think we're in good hands here. I won't do my full prediction now, but I think we're in really good hands here. I think this is a great test for this team. And again, separation here. We do have a good red seat. Now, I do want to relive something quickly. I think this plays a part of this game, especially if this player was healthy. He's not. The OBJ trade plays a lot of the factor in this game, too. It's not just, by the way, Beckham. Remember, Olivier Vernon's coming back. He was a Giants stalwart as well. So, you know, a lot have been talk about this week, who won the trade, who won blah, blah, blah. You know, if you listen to New Yorkers, it's New York. If you listen to a lot of Browns fans, sounds like it's even Steven. I, of course, feel like it's more even Steven. I actually do if I think I'm being neutral. I think it's even Steven trade. I really do. Vernon's played very well these last three or four games since the bye week. So Vernon's really come around. And Beckham won the Dallas game, and he's won the Jets game. Beckham's made some impacts on the field. You can't question that. Zeitler and Peppers. I mean, I know people in New York keep singing the praises of Peppers, and maybe he's found his new... Sounds like now he's playing much closer to the line. Boy, who would... God, how... Real quickly, does anybody fucking miss when Peppers was playing, like, in center
what
field?
What was that?
Oh, my God. What was that? Is that strange? Like, you couldn't even...
It was never explained. It's an unsolved mystery. Seriously.
You're not deep enough. I can't even see the quarterback. No. Keep going back. There you go. You're on the goal line.
You're in the locker room.
No deep passes.
I don't know.
Jeez. But anyways, I do think, you know, all the storyline to be true. The Beckham thing, you know, that's for a different day and he's out for the year. But I do think this trade is broken out even, meaning it's been a wash. I think there's been pluses and minuses. I know they like this kid, Dexter Lawrence, who was one of the draft picks for the Browns. The other guy's out for an injury, so you really can't put any weight on that right now. But here's the other thing I would say, though, in this game. Let's go back to Vernon. Vernon's been playing well. You got to think in this game, Jared's going to play with an extra pep in his step. You got to think in this game, coming back to New York, knowing how Vernon's been playing the second half of the year, I think he's going to play the little pep.
Well, he's already been much improved over the course of the year. And again, it's look, I think Vernon will be fine. I think Vernon will get to Colt McCoy once or twice. Yeah. Yeah. A little pep in his step, just like you're saying. I don't see why not. And again, isn't he playing for a contract?
Yeah.
So.
I mean,
he's only got 3 weeks left.
Yeah. Well speaking on defense in the playoffs, Manny again on Facebook, I personally feel like we shouldn't have gotten rid of him. He's a safety that can play linebacker and corner and can turn running punts, referring to Peppers. Peppers is a unique enigma because I know what Manny is saying, and there was always potential. And to be fair, you remember the Bronco game. He's one of those players in Browns history that – I'm not surprised he's finally figuring out because someone's finally utilizing him properly. He was not utilized properly. All that to be said, when he did play, he did not, outside the Bronco game, he never made any impact. He was a weird player.
And also keeping him, weird like, player. You can't get upset about not keeping him considering what we were trying to put into place.
Game back.
And what we wanted. Yeah. And on top of that, was he really going to fit into a scheme here? I don't think he was going to. It doesn't look like, could he fit into this defense now? I don't even know how that works. I mean, yes, obviously, because we were hurting so much in the secondary. But at this point, I just never saw him as being the future with the team.
I think sometimes a change of culture actually helps a person.
We talk about that often.
Yeah, I think trading him helped him. I don't know. I'm with Jared, actually. I don't know if there would have been much of a difference with Peppers in Cleveland. I think sometimes you need to get traded to get fresh blood, fresh ideas, fresh stuff in the genes. I think this is one of those cases. But again, Peppers, I don't think Peppers was awful. I thought Peppers had some moments where he just couldn't. I mean, look, we just stated it. I mean, the guy'd be so far off the ball, you wouldn't even know where he was on the field.
That's all right. We'll see him. So we'll see him on offense this Sunday night. He'll be inserted for some sort of special fun play. with Freddie.
Yeah, yeah. And Manny again on Facebook. I was actually a big fan of his two of Michigan. I thought Peppers was a great college player. It was too bad he got injured the year he came out, because I think he would have had a much bigger impact for Michigan. Yeah. Now, going back to staying on defense, this is an article I found, Jared. I don't know if you had a chance to read it, but I was really bothered, and we talked about, I mean, if you listen to this show or Instagram, you can tell how bothered I was. I was very perplexed by the defense. And so I dug into some more, and there's a great article in The Athletic who talked about the schemes that was run and man coverage. Most teams against, this is from Pro Football Focus, but going through The Athletic article. Pro Football Focus, entering the game of opponents against the Ravens, drop back passes, there's only about 25% of the time on man coverage. The Browns did it 70% of the time. What that does is it forces your D-line and linebackers to have to, it forces them to really focus on Jackson, or because they're playing man, you're really, it's easier for a Jackson player to run because now he's on one-on-one matchups. And with zone, obviously, you're just guarding zones on the field. So it was perplexing in this analytics study. So I just want to bring it up for a reason. I'm not hanging that loss on Joe Woods, but I am saying that was bizarre. And the stats say that. If you are, most teams know man coverage, you should about 25% of the time. And the Browns go man coverage 70% on Monday night, and Jackson goes off.
Well, I wonder, it's almost like they were more worried about him throwing over the middle than they were about him running.
Yeah, and why? They haven't been able to throw the ball
Well,
year.
Just the over-the-middle stuff, but I guess. That's all.
Just,
I mean, that's
just over the middle. I just think,
I don't know.
The reason why I bring this up is we need to note this, because this team's very analytical thinking. This team is very pro football focused world, and they went against everything in this Monday night game. Everybody has a game. So Joe Woods had his game. Let's see what happens from here on out. But I want to make a note of it. That played a huge role in that loss on Monday night.
Which, ironically, on the other side of the ball, people were complaining because the Ravens were going more zone than going man-to-man in certain situations, and that's what made Baker look so good.
It's one of those situations where maybe the coaches outthought themselves, because in situations like that, the Browns should know it's Lamar Jackson plays zone, so at least you get a chance to contain Jackson's running. Look, I hope next year, because I don't think the Browns will play the Ravens in the playoffs only because of seeding. But next year, you have got to start thinking, keeping Lamar in the box. Don't let him get loose. Don't let him get past that line of scrimmage. You can't. Can't. Anyways, it's one game. Certainly Colt McCoy's not Lamar Jackson, so it's not a factor this week.
It's a dead horse that needs to be beat, and it's frustrating that we need to beat this dead horse. Because shouldn't even have fucking happened, Andy.
No. The other big storyline that kind of came up, which I give our buddy Craig over at WFMY credit, he kind of tweeted it out. For people who have not seen it, there's a video out there of Landry and Peters. And Peters, as he's walking, walking up the field, like I think it was a timeout. You can see Peters spinning in the direction of Landry. He doesn't hit Landry, but he's spinning in the direction of Landry. So Landry did comment on this after the game. And it kind of got it more into some things which I want to get into. Quote, referencing Peters, he is a coward. I think he knew that. Maybe behind my back, he would do things like that. But to my face, he wouldn't. Now everyone knows what type of player he is, the type of person he is, end quote. There were some more things said. Then after the game, I was digging this morning. Peters put out a video on Instagram calling Landry a she. She was upset because the other homegirl really ended up making it right now because my dog is hurt. We understand that and respect that. But that one homegirl that was out there just needs to shut the fuck up until she gets
back. See, this is a lot different from what I had heard, because I thought Peters came out and said if I was going to do something like that, I would do it to his face, and I thought that was it.
This is the Ravens.
I didn't see some of the other
shit. This is my point.
But what you're telling me goes along with some of the other things that I've heard about Peters, and that is that Peters has always played like shit. Peters has always been a piece of shit. And so so that now that changes things. Now that changes things. What a punk.
Hey, look. For people who don't understand why I was really bothered by that loss, this is why. The Ravens do this shit every year. The Steelers and Ravens get away with more crap than any other teams I've seen in the league. They get it every year. For people who forget, too, last year, OBJ threw a punch at Peters, which, okay, whatever. And then Marlon Humphrey started choking out Beckham. And then the Ravens put out a press release. Oh, that never happened. And they did a breakdown after seeing visual evidence of Humphreys choking Beckham. My whole point is, this rivalry is far darker than maybe what we talk about nationally. And I'm going to bring it up here. That's why that loss hurts. That's why, and by the way, the move alone is enough. But the Baltimore Ravens do this shit every year. The Steelers do too. Where they go, oh, no. I didn't spit at Jarvis. Then you put out a video fucking, even before that video comes out of you seeing, looks like he's spitting on him. You're fucking disrespectful, Peters. Last year you choked out Beckham, Marlon Humphrey. The Ravens do this shit every year. Every year. And by the way, in a COVID year, I think Peters should get fined for this.
Oh, you ain't
kidding.
It's not safe. You're right.
Spitting,
you're right.
And spinning in a direction. It's not safe.
You're right.
I just don't understand how, and this is a sports thing, not just the NFL, how certain teams get away with certain crap and other teams don't. And the Steelers and Ravens, I'm sorry, and yes, being a Browns fan is part of it, get away with more crap than any of these other teams.
You are bringing
don't.
Something up right now.
Sorry.
This is a bigger thing that I want to mention too. You're kind of opening the door to the anniversary of Bottlegate. And why Browns fans have issues with trusting the refs. You were talking about Craig from WFMY, and he had retweeted something that I put out there basically saying, this is why. Bottlegate is why it is very difficult for Browns fans to trust, right? To feel good, to be okay with, yeah. You know, because we get shit on.
Yeah.
We get shit on. And I know Aaron Goldhammer commented on it and said, I don't understand why you're still bitter about it. Well, listen, Aaron, we're still bitter about it. Because it should have never happened, and it's the only time it ever happened, and it will never happen again. Because the rules changed in that moment. The rules of the game changed in that moment against the Browns. And it only seems to happen against the Browns. That's why. Okay?
People
get away with shit that we don't ever, and not that we want to get away with it, but just play the game fair.
I just have seen too many times in sports where, like the Peters incident, and last year Humphrey, it would have been reprimanded, fined, something. It just goes like a fart in the wind. For all the safety protocol, why isn't this not being talked about more? If Peters is spinning in the direction of anybody in a COVID year, how can that not be talked about
more? Hey, Manny brings this up. Have you guys watched the documentary Cleveland 95? Andy, actually, were you involved with Cleveland 95 at all?
That's NFL Network. I don't remember.
I remember watching it. You'll see why the Ravens are a nasty team. Tired of us not getting credit we deserve when it comes to certain instances. Well, yeah. I mean, it's just, look, I hate
again,
the Ravens.
I told my dad growing up too,
I hate the Ravens more than I hate the Steelers.
That's true. It's true. I just want to bring it up again for people to understand the frustration. That's why that game losing was, it hurts.
Yeah.
And this crap that they
so
do.
So you know what you got to do?
Peters.
You got to win out.
Gotta beat
you got to go to the playoffs. Yeah. And you got to win a playoff game or two. And you got to either watch the Ravens play from the outside in or you got to go deeper in the playoffs than they do. You have to.
I know it's true. Speaking about that game, for people who didn't know, this kind of got buried too. This is kind of funny, but this should be brought up. The ratings for the Monday Night Football game were incredible. They were actually a 9% increase over the following week's game with the Giants and Eagles. 12.4 million viewers. That's a huge number for Monday Night Football. They usually average in the single digits now. So that's a huge, huge number. So a big jump up. It just wasn't a national game entertainment-wise. Even if it wasn't, it was well-watched. Of course, Cleveland led, and Baltimore's 1-2. Columbus, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati, those are your top five cities and markets. I just bring it up because there's this false narrative that you got to do everything in the East Coast. It proves again. Browns, and by the way, Ravens are East Coast, but this proves the point again. Browns rate. They rate. Again, most ratings this year have been like 8 or 9. 12.4 is a huge jump. Huge jump.
I mean, yeah, huge, you've got to listen here. It was the most watched program on television, broadcast and cable, in the primetime slot.
You could feel it.
11.
You could feel it while watching.
I was
the game.
On my feet. I was on my reaction. Feet most of the game. I was going from one living room to another living room in the house during the game the entire night. It was.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, so not to get into our world, but we do podcasting and stuff. The reaction we got after that game from our comments said a lot to me. This game was really, really
centered.
And really, really, really.
To
really
remind you that Instagram at Official Cleveland Sports. That's where we do it after the games. And we jumped on live on Instagram at Official Cleveland Sports. And it was just comments after comments.
We could have gone to one in the morning. Constant.
The audience
feel it.
Was
like,
huge.
Look, again, we just do a little show here, but you could feel the buzz and energy after that game. So. Anyways, it was not just us. It's not just us. It's nationwide. I mean, it rated off. I mean, out the nose. Pro Football Focus. I don't know how many people care about this, but I found it interesting. Quarterback Baker Mayfield made the NFL history throwing an incomplete Hail Mary pass that was over 70 yards on Monday Night Football against the Baltimore Ravens. 70 yards, I guess, because technically threw it from the, what was it, the 40. Then I guess you got 10 yards in the end zone, so that's 70 yards. People don't take that stat for what it's worth. I found that to be interesting. That was a hell of a throw.
He throws hard. I don't understand how people say that he doesn't have an arm.
Oh, what?
I don't remember. I don't remember who said it. I want to attribute it to Booger, but I can't remember. Talking about he's never going to have
Baker's
a rocket.
Baker's got an
arm. He's got
a rocket. Yeah, Baker's got that's not true. Watch his first year. Remember that pass he made to Landry in the Panther game? I remember watching that. I was like, that kid did. He stood still and threw it 60 yards. Kid's got a cannon. Kid has got a cannon. All right, let's talk about the playoffs. So I wanted to make sure we got the most accurate stuff. So I went to 538. Here's the percentages. Browns are at 89%, Colts at 90, Ravens at 91, Dolphins at 30. With the Raiders loss, that was a big, good loss for us last night. They're now 2% and the Pats are 2%. So it's four teams, three slots. The Browns at 89% says everything that we're playing into this morning. With the Browns schedule, with the Browns being up a game, and with a tiebreaker against the Colts, they're in prime position. They really are. The Dolphins play the Pats this week. Texans are going to Indy. And then the Jaguars are going to Baltimore. The Ravens
Dolphins,
got their
Pats
bye week.
is always up in the air no matter what year it is. Even when Dicey. Brady was playing, that was always
Dicey.
A weird one.
Dicey. And the Pats do play hard. So I think they'll be up for that game. Dolphins also, the following week, have the Raiders and the Bills. So the Dolphins don't have any easy games. Now, the Bills might be doing the same thing the Steelers are. They might be resting players in week 17. But this is a big week. I mean, I'm just telling you, I think this is the week. I think this is the week that determines the playoffs. It just feels that way to me. I mean, the Dolphins-Pats game, Browns-Giants, these are games that really influence how these things are going to play out. It just feels that way to me. These are big games. Is it the Dolphins beat the Pats? I think the Dolphins are fine. Like, they go to Vegas, but the Raiders are reeling right now. So, like, it just feels like it. Dolphins, too. Big games for the Dolphins and the Browns. Huge.
That young quarterback out with the Chargers tied the record for touchdown passes in a season for a rookie at 27 last night, too, against the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Just thought I'd throw that out there. He seems like he's going to develop into a good quarterback. But Justin, was it Herbert? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Justin Herbert's really, really good. Marissa McCool, I'll just paraphrase, but I'll put it up on the screen. The Steelers and Ravens are treated like the 80s Pistons. Yes. Yes. Read the comment on Facebook. Because here is a paraphrase. I'm a big believer in that. The Browns did that stuff. You would see flags. You would see fines. I'm such a believer in that. Manny Blasdale commenting on Jared's comment. My dad, I have an issue because I wouldn't sit down.
Yeah, we do have issues.
I'm a pacer too. I'm a pacer too, so I totally get it. All right, injuries real quick. Denzel Ward's back in practice. They won't officially list him as back. We're not in Berea. I'm telling you, I think he's playing. At this point, if he doesn't play, I think Ward's a big shock. I think Ward's back. I think Hooper's back. Sendejo does have a concussion, so he's out.
Speaking of which, there was another issue with dealing with the Ravens, and that was with J.K. Dobbins apparently falling right into that culture of being an asshole, tweeting out and then deleting a comment about Sendejo having his concussion.
Yeah, they're – I cannot stand.
Damn it, Andy. Fucking Ravens.
That is one team I do want to play again. I really, really do. I'd love to beat him in the playoffs. God, I want to play them so badly. Sendejo's out with a concussion. The bigger injury is Teller. Teller has an ankle injury. I mean, you can read it between the lines. I don't think he's going to play. It sounds like Hubbard's going to get the start, unless something dramatically changes. This is a tough one because Teller is so key, and you got to think positively playoffs. If he is really banged up, sitting him for a game or two is not a terrible idea. I know this is a big game. But if he can't go and getting him some rest, I don't mind this sit.
Yeah, I think that I'm more flinchy about Ward sitting an extra week than I would be about Wyatt Teller. I feel like I think Ward needs to play because of what we saw last week too. I'm a little flinchy.
I think Ward needs to play.
A little flinchy without Ward. Yeah, out there.
I would love to. Here's what we'd love to do as Browns fans: play these next 2 weeks and sit everybody against the Steelers. I mean, sit everybody, get everybody rest, get everybody ready to go for the playoffs. I mean, that's what you want. If you can win this week, you're going to beat the Jets. More than likely, you're in the playoffs and just start sitting people and just getting them rest for the playoffs, unless the Dolphins keep winning. If the Dolphins keep winning, it's a different story. But that's really where you're at with this. Austin Hooper's back. So that's your injury report. There's some dings and dents. If you noticed, there is no Myles Garrett. Myles is fine. He'll be back in the game. Everybody's betting Cleveland. Unlike last week, the line was at 3.5. It's now 4.5 I saw this morning. I would not be surprised that line goes to 5 or 6. I think the Browns are going to be heavily bet on, especially with what's going on with the Giants. Star cornerback James Bradbury has been placed on the COVID-19 reserve. I don't know who he is either. I don't watch but he is their best cornerback, and he's been rated as such. And the New York media deemed him the most irreplaceable player, and he's out.
Well, he won't be replaced.
Bradbury. He will not be replaced, is right. I watched a lot of the Giants game. This is easy peasy. The Giants offense is horrible. They're 31st in the league. They're 14th in rushing. I don't know how. They don't really have a running game. Their passing game is far worse. I think their running game is because of Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones isn't playing. So I'm telling you, I watched that game, Jared. That is a stiff cardboard box offense. They have nothing. They really don't. That there's nothing on that offense that makes you go, hey, you need to stop. Just play your game. Stay in your spots. Be up front. These are pros, so they're going to play hard. But if you stay in your lanes, you do your proper things, this offense, scoring above 20 is not going to happen.
You're right on with my prediction.
Just right on with my prediction
for this game. I don't think they're going to. I don't think the Giants have a chance. As much as I sit here I have to battle with my own inner demons regarding the Browns and the history and the nightmare. I mean, this really is kind of like one of those nights where you go to sleep and you dream about, you won't believe what I had a dream about. I had a dream that Freddie Kitchens was calling the plays and Colt McCoy was the quarterback, and the Giants just ran up and down the field on the Browns, right? That's a nightmare, right?
That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
No.
That's just not how it's going to happen.
No.
Browns 38, Giants 17.
Yeah, I have 27-10.
It's a rout.
I have 27-10. I think it's going to stay close up until late in the third, into the fourth. I just don't see it. I watched the Giants game last week. The only thing about this game is I think it's going to be hand-wringing until the fourth. I think it's going to be hand-wringing. I think once the fourth quarter happens, at one point a dam will break and everything will be all right. I think it's going to be hand-wringing, though.
I think the Browns get up early, and then they just run.
God, I hope so. Again, I watched a lot of the Cardinal game. The Giants have no offense. I mean, none. Zero. They just don't. And now Colt McCoy in there. We all know Colt. I just don't see it. It's going to take some turnovers from offense. And by the way, that's my one warning. 7 fumbles. You cannot fumble in this game, boys. That is the only thing I can see where the Giants win. The Browns had a fumble problem last week, and they got away with
it. That was just nuts.
You got to hang on the ball. This is one of those games. That's where you can lose this game.
You can guarantee that this entire week that was emphasized with Coach Stefanski.
Boy, that was like,
you can guarantee.
That was a disease. That was a disease last week. Got to do that. We talked about the bigger games this week. The Steelers are going to clinch, sadly, the division. They're not going to lose in Cincinnati. The big game this week is Chiefs and Saints. That's at 4:30. We're now back to Saturday football. Bills, Broncos, Panthers, Packers. I don't care about either of those games. Probably won't. I will not watch a second of Panthers, Packers. I have no interest. Bills, Broncos, I'll flip it on and keep it in the background. But I very, very, it's getting to that point of year where December slates are weird. You either love the game or you hate it.
Yeah, Washington football team in Seattle at 1 o'clock.
That's a good game.
Seattle at Washington. That's a good game. Yeah, that's one I'm interested in.
That's a good game. That's a good game. Chiefs Saints, I'm interested. If Breeze is back. I want to see what Breeze can do.
Is he back?
That's what they say, right?
Oh, why?
I don't know. We'll see.
He needs to sit out for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So, I don't know why. I'm not a doctor, but I just feel like I'm a little worried for Drew Breeze. The man had his entire chest broken and a collapsed lung.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I feel about that. We'll see.
So that's your Browns Giants preview. As Jared said at the top, we'll do a post game after the show, right after the Sunday night football game. So come join us there. That's the slate. And again, this is if you feel this way, it's true. It's a big game. This is a big game. We topped it off. Go listen, re-listen to the podcast. Big game. You win this game. It's really set up analytics. It's set up for everything else to win and go to the playoffs. With that,
Drew Salt on Facebook. This is kind of the opposite for us, though. He says he'd rather watch college football than NFL.
I'm
on
with
Saturday.
Drew. I am.
Really?
I love college football. I'm with Drew. I'm Drew. This is what they call in the business a transition. It is now time. It's championship week. Doesn't it feel like championship week? Jared's got his Buckeye scarlet.
But this is my
gray mug. Come on.
Any other year, I would agree. Is what I'm saying. But this year, there's no buzz. There's no hype. There's nothing. There is nothing. Ohio State, Northwestern, Big Ten championship.
Try finding a preview of that game.
Who gives a shit? How many people forgot it was tomorrow?
Yeah. By the way, what time do they play? Ding, dong,
I don't know.
Ding,
1
dong,
o'clock?
Ding, dong, ding, noon.
They play at 1?
Noon.
Noon, yeah, that's what I meant.
Here's the storylines for Ohio State, Northwestern. Quickly, sadly, I have to run to go do a work thing in 5-10 minutes. Apologize. Shorter podcast today. Busy guy. Got Santa Claus shit to do. Buckeyes Wildcats. I told Jared before he came on, I tried finding a preview for this game. You can't find anything. Nothing. No one thinks the Wildcats are going to win. This is teed up as such an upset. Fitzgerald, if there's ever a day for Fitzgerald to fire up these kids, it's this game. It don't matter. They're not going to win, I think the Wildcats cover though. I really do. I'm going to talk about this more. The Wildcats will cover. It's 20.5. I think the Wildcats will cover, but the Buckeyes win.
20.5? I thought it was all the way up to 27. At least it was when I first started.
20.5 right now. 20.5. I think the Wildcats cover.
I don't know that they do cover because the conversation in Columbus has to be we need to blow them the hell out and make sure that there's no questions for college football.
It's so funny. That's what the biggest headline's been. They need to blow them out so they get in. Look. Real quickly in this playoff thing.
Like they did Wisconsin years ago.
Right. Yeah. Real quickly in this playoff thing, it's going to take a minor miracle. There's only one way. There's only one way. And that's if Florida beats Bama, and that's not happening. I'm telling you right now, Florida's not beating Bama. And there's two teams that have to win this Saturday. Two. Ohio State has to win, and Clemson. By the way, Clemson loses Notre Dame. Clemson's not getting in. Big.
Isn't that crazy?
Clemson, no one talks about it. Clemson needs to win that game.
It's in play.
So, Buckeyes, Wildcats. Here's my big breakdown. Fitzgerald and that quarterback, their defense is scrappy enough. I know the Wildcats. They will do something funky and weird to keep them in the game. It's either that or it's 14-0 before you blink and it's going to be 51-5, like 51-7 before the game's over. I think it's going to be the first one. I think they do goofy things. I think they'll be up for this game. The Buckeyes are too talented. They've had such a weird year. I just think Day's too good of a coach. I just think they'll have too much in this game. It's too obvious. No one has the Wildcats win this game. No one. No one even has them within single digits, and I don't either. I think they win by like 10 or 14. But that's there you go. Now, to my Irish. I love this game from an Irish standpoint. No one thinks the Irish are going to win. I love games like this, but I have got Clemson wounds. I got probably a Clemson paw on my back from that fucking stampeding we got in the playoffs. I love this game. I love the 10.5 for you gamblers. I would take the Irish. Remember, the Irish have had a bye week, and I think that plays big in this game. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I'm getting sucked into this shit again. Watch the Tigers blow them out. I think Notre Dame gives them a game. I think Notre Dame really gives them hell. I think
Dabo's an asshole.
He is an asshole. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and just say let's go Notre Dame this week, man.
The key in this game last time was Williams, the running back for Notre Dame. I can't remember his name at the top of my head now, but he outplayed the star running back for Clemson. That was a huge part of this game. That's going to be a key. The Irish have a lot of experience, a lot of seniors. They're going to be up for this game. This is their big game. So this is not the Irish, a lot of these guys played against Clemson 2 years ago. This is not a team that's like, I don't remember that. They played against Clemson. I think, Jared, Notre Dame's going to be very up for this game, as is Clemson. Clemson wants to win this game. I think Clemson wins in a squeaker. Lawrence being in this game, I think he's too good of a quarterback. If we think he's as talented as he is, he figures out a way to win. But I love the Irish in this game being competitive. Clearly, I'm an Irish fan. I'll be all over this game. But, man, oh, man, I just get a funny vibe about this game. I don't think it's going to be a Clemson cakewalk. I just don't. A lot of people do, but I don't. I don't. And then quickly.
No, I'm with you. This isn't the same. Again, you can't take the past into consideration for this game. I don't think it's the same matchup.
And by the way, this is rare. A lot of Notre Dame players played 2 years ago. So this is not a team that has a bunch of sophomores and juniors. There's a lot of seniors on this Notre Dame team. A lot. I have learned that plays a factor in college.
It absolutely does.
It plays a factor in this game. So I would keep that in mind. All right. Bama, Florida. Real quickly. I think Dan Mullen yesterday in a press conference saying we're going to beat Alabama says everything about how that program's going in Gainesville. Bama's going to beat them by 30. Maybe 40. I think my jaw dropped this morning, Jerry, when I go, Dan Mullen guaranteed a victory against Alabama in a press conference after losing to LSU with a kid throwing a shoe to lose the game? I mean, I buyer beware. If people think the Gators are going to win, I think you're lost. I really think Bama wins big. Sadly, for all this hype up I did about the Buckeyes, the Tigers, the Irish, I think Bama's the best team, clearly. I think Bama's going to win the whole thing. I think Bama's that good.
We do need to throw this out here. And this is something that obviously they're not. I'm sorry, I'm switching gears. Back to Ohio State really quickly. Mm-hmm. And that is, there's rumors of more Ohio State COVID positive tests.
Ooh.
And also Olave is one of those rumored. So we're going to have to see, and this was only 12 hours ago. We're going to have to see how this plays out.
That's going to be, well, and then we should keep it on your iPhone. Say it again.
The issue is Ohio State dealing with more positive cases.
This
came out 12 hours ago, so I didn't see it until right now. And the only reason I'm thinking about it is because Drew Solt on Facebook brought it up. You guys hearing the rumors? Olave tested positive for COVID-19. Have not heard that rumor. Looking at the story now about Ohio State, it came out last night. They put this out last night, and I will be reading it shortly. But son of a bitch.
If it's just Olave, it's one thing. If it's more on the team, that's a different story.
It's going to change. I mean,
if it's a team thing, it's a different story.
What do they do? They change the date of the Big Ten championship, or do they forfeit and Northwestern wins? Unreal.
I'll tell you what, if there is more to this story, we might have to come on and just do a special quick thing on Saturday morning.
Oh, boy. Yep. No, you're right. You're right. So this is all just coming out right now for us, and it's Friday the 18th at 9:15 in the morning. So
there's more.
We're just now getting some of this news.
If there's more to this, we'll either go on Instagram or on here and talk about some more. Drew Salt again. Sorry, I want revenge. So Clemson needs to win. Look, I totally get it. I totally get it. We all want to beat Clemson. Clemson is now the new you from the 80s. Everybody hates Clemson. Everybody, me included. I really, really want the Irish to win. Rumors, Drew Salt again, good fan of show. Rumors also, though, that the Big 21 are supposed to change to 17 days. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is that? That you can't play for 21 days and they're going to drop to 17 if you had it. So, yeah. Okay.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see. It's a fluid situation, to say the least.
Yeah, I've heard those rumors, too. I heard that people were complaining about him wanting it to change. I didn't know whether it would or not.
Right.
We'll see.
We'll see.
And you know what? This is, and to be honest, let me just say this. To be honest, this is what has driven me so fucking nuts with college football this whole season, is that there's such a veil of secrecy behind everything. It seems like it's just a mess. And the Big Ten has not handled any of this COVID shit from beginning to end. Well, they have not.
Yep.
And here we are coming into tomorrow being the Big Ten championship game. And now we're getting these breaking stories about possible positive COVID tests with Ohio State. And Andy and I are going to have, to do more work and figure this out and talk about it tomorrow possibly. You're right.
Yep.
Fucking
hell. I actually have to run because I got, sadly, some deadlines I have to hit today. But real quickly, Kevin Porter Jr., the charges have been dropped. So it sounds like that part of the case is gone. So there's
Mahoning County dropped it. I saw that last night.
So that is that. More on that later. A lot of talk about Okoro. I've been tweeting it out. A lot of positivity about Okoro. So keep that in mind as we go forward. Yeah. That is going to be something to keep your eye on. I think he's going to be big. And then finally, I'm going to do more on this next week. People need to really read the Omar Vizquel story. It's not good, and you need to read it. I'll leave it there. I'm going to leave you.
I've avoided it. I read the headline, and I've avoided reading the story.
I read the whole. I love Omar, but that is not good. And if this is true, and I think it is true, then he needs to be reprimanded badly.
Oh boy,
it's going to change my perception of him, and not in a good way at all.
You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Cleveland and Beyond, and also on Twitter @CLE and Beyond. Shoot us an email, Andy and Jared, JARID @gmail.com. Also, Marissa, I saw your email. I keep forgetting to message you back. I apologize, Andy. We got to look at that. Marissa McCool had sent us some messages.
Oh, okay.
Andy and Jared @gmail.com.
Sorry, JARID.
Marissa. And then on Instagram, you got to follow us before and after Browns games.
Yes.
We will be there live, broadcasting our thoughts pregame and after the game, and prepping you for the podcast coming up at Official Cleveland Sports. It's at Official Cleveland Sports. We are brought to you by Waiting for Next Year. Check them out. Original Cleveland Sports reporting at waitingfornextyear.com and coming soon to Evergreen Podcasts. Andy, final thoughts.
Big game. This is it. They win. Browns win. It's downhill. Everything's gravy. They lose. Hand-wringing throughout the rest of the year. Giants are very banged up. Browns should win this game easily. We both think the same thing. We'll keep seeing what's going on with the Buckeyes. And it's exciting. It's great to have big, important games and not so much survive and like we have to have five or six teams win. Again, it's great when you control your own destiny. The Browns win, everything's good. It's just
unreal.
That simple.
The fact that the Browns are even in a position where if they lost on Sunday and that they still could win the next two and get in the playoffs just blows my mind at this point.
Yep.
Now, we don't want to play that fucking game.
We don't want to play that game at all. Because then weird things start happening.
Yes.
If you lose, you start losing control over your own destiny.
The weirdest things that have happened need to be the only weird things that happen, and that is Freddie Kitchens calling the plays and Colt McCoy under center. That's it. I don't need any other weirdness. Leave the weirdness somewhere else. Leave it in the past. Leave the weirdness in the past.
Yeah, our weirdness cup's filled up.
The Giants. Let's go. All right, Andy. Enjoy your day of work. I will be doing home renovations once again. This home will never be ready.
Santa and I are having a big meeting later.
I'll be there on Christmas Day, probably. Who the fuck knows? All right. Everybody take care. We'll talk again soon. Go Browns.
Go Browns, baby.
Cleveland and Beyond with Andy and Jared is a part of Evergreen Podcast. You can follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/Cleveland and Beyond, on Twitter at @CLEandBeyond, or shoot them an email at andyandjared@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit the website, clevelandandbeyond.net.
Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They were able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.